Good morning. I am glad to be here doing what I want to be doing. I'm glad you are where you want to be, doing what you're wanting to be doing, worshiping our Lord. How deserving is He? We are also preparing for an eternity. This is where we need to be. I was excited to walk by TJ's office and see some of his belongings have showed up. He made a trip up just with office supplies and books. So let's keep his family in our prayers as they make that transition. And for our congregation, of course. And thank you so much if you're visiting with us. We hope that you'll stick around and get to know us. Visit anytime you can. It's a loving church family with one thing in mind, is edifying each other and taking the word to Blount County and the rest of the world. So Hebrews 11, verse 6, we are familiar with this, says, it is impossible to please God without faith. Now, if we want to please God, that should beg the question, well, how do I get faith? If it's impossible to please God without faith, I need faith. Where do I get it? God does not leave us wondering. Romans 10, 17, faith comes from hearing the word of God. The Bible is replete with examples of people with great faith that we should be examining and poring over their examples so that we can emulate them, right? Paul said, 1 Corinthians 11, 1, imitate me as I imitate Christ. We can look to Paul's example of great faith, imitate Paul as he imitated Christ, so that we too can have great faith. Hebrews chapter 11 is full of examples of Old Testament individuals with great faith. We can go and pore over the Old Testament examples, try to emulate their faith so that we can grow and please God. Why is faith so important? Well, every great relationship is based on trust and faith. Shannon can't know fully Eddie Cool, even though we've been married over 20 years. Round, always round, if you're unsure. Shannon can't know for sure that I'm going to come home every night. She can't know for sure that I will continue to provide for the family. But over the years, she's learned to trust. Every great relationship is based on trust. God knows that we need to trust Him. We need to learn about Him, learn His love, because that will build a relationship that He's looking for. He's looking for servants that want to be with Him for eternity. Sign me up. Now, interestingly, Jesus, in his walk, his 33-year walk, ran across two individuals that he said had great faith. Interestingly, neither of them were Jewish. Both of them were Gentiles. We're going to look at one of those examples. One of them was a centurion. We can find him in Matthew 8, right after the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus finds an individual that had great faith. And we're going to study the other, this time, a Gentile woman with monstrous great faith. We need to pore over her life and find out what impressed Jesus so that we can imitate her in every possible way and develop that great faith that pleases Him. Granted, it was an unexpected place to find great faith, isn't it? Sometimes we find faith in very unexpected places. Sometimes we go to a third world country, there's faith staring us in the face. We didn't expect it. Sometimes at work, sometimes at school, we run across an individual with great faith. I'm like, wow, I didn't expect it. Interestingly, this story that we're going to study from Matthew 15, if you want to turn your Bibles there, this woman that had great faith, Jesus said, is found in the middle. The context is interesting. Her story is sandwiched between the feeding of the 5,000 and the feeding of the 4,000, not by accident. Her story is found in Jesus' rebuke of the Pharisees and scribes who had no faith, and those with little faith, Peter and some of the disciples that were struggling with their faith. And here in the midst stands a woman with great faith. That's not there by accident. God puts it there on purpose. In fact, I'm convinced He took His disciples who struggled. Peter had just started sinking in the stormy sea, collapsing into the water. Jesus had to save him and say, you of little faith. Right after that event, Jesus marches 35 miles from the Sea of Galilee to the seaside Mediterranean coastal town of Tyre and Sidon to find this woman. I think very intentionally to teach them what great faith looked like, so that by the very next chapter, Matthew 16, Peter is able to make that great confession in Matthew 16, 18, "You are Christ, the Son of the living God." I think this woman helped Peter arrive at that confession by her example. And Jesus had to go a long distance to find her, 35 miles. Let's read the account in Matthew chapter 15, starting in verse 21. Please read with me. "Then Jesus went out from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came from that region and cried out to him, saying, 'Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed.' But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, 'Send her away, for she cries out after us.' But he answered and said, 'I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel.' Then she came and worshipped him, saying, 'Lord, help me.' But he answered and said, 'It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs.' And she said, 'Yes, Lord. Yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table.' Then Jesus answered and said to her, 'O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire.' And her daughter was healed from that very hour." What about this woman's faith was great, was notable, made Jesus jump into action and take note, using her as an example for the 12 disciples so that they could grow their faith and so that we can grow ours to please him? First, great faith of this woman knew who Jesus was, knew his identity, was able to confess the truth about who Jesus was. She calls him Lord in our story multiple times. She calls him Master. And remarkably, this woman from the land of Canaan, if you know your Old Testament history, refers to him as the Son of David. There's a lot to unpack there. This woman understood who Jesus was before Israel understood who Jesus was. If you look at Matthew chapter 1, you'll find the genealogies of Jesus. Guess who it passed through? King David. 2 Samuel chapter 5, verse 7, we are prophesied and told that the Messiah would set up a kingdom that would never, ever be destroyed through the son of David. So our Messiah, Jesus Christ, is called the Son of David. This woman, shockingly, knew this about Jesus. We're not told how she got this information. We just know she has it, and she cherishes it, and she understands the implications. Matthew 10, verse 32 says, "Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven." Great faith begins with an understanding of the truth of Jesus' identity. Second, great faith is frequently tested and yet tenacious, persistent. Sometimes, if you're not a Bible student and you're just starting your journey, reading this story can be quite shocking. When you read what she had to endure, she came to Jesus and she was met first with silence. Think about that. Why is the Spirit revealing to us in the Word that in her hour of greatest need, Jesus just stood there silently? Jesus does nothing by accident. What are we supposed to see it seems to be an obstacle. This woman, in her hour of need, is being met with silence from the Son of David, Lord and Master of all. I think he's testing her. Jesus frequently, consistently tests faith. Go back at every other example in Jesus' walk. He's testing faith all of the time. He had just tested Peter's faith, come out to me on the water. He had just tested all the disciples' faith when he fed the 5,000. And when they came to Jesus, says, where are we going to get bread? Bread of life. John chapter 6 tells us that Jesus is the bread of life. And they're wondering where they're going to get bread. I'm standing right in front of you. They didn't get it. Jesus walked 35 miles to find a woman to teach everybody a lesson. He used silence. Watch what this girl is capable of. And he sat there silently. Now, I'd imagine the disciples had never seen Jesus respond to a compassion moment with silence before. He was always met with people. He was always responding to their needs, giving them words of comfort, giving them miracles. And this time, silence. If you read Mark 7's account, you realize that this woman, how she responded to silence, she just kept on pleading. In fact, the apostles, the soon-to-be apostles, the disciples, became annoyed with the woman. I think, looking at Mark 7's account, it seems like when Jesus sat there silently for who knows how long, she turned her focus on the disciples and started pleading with them. Because in Mark 7 it says she's pleading and calling after us. Not only was her silence testing the woman, the silence was testing their faith. And they dropped the ball. The disciples saw the woman as an interruption to their work. When Jesus was trying to teach them, the woman is their work. The woman did not fail this test. She was tenacious. Matthew 7, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus teaches us that we must ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. We're told in Mark 7's account, where was Jesus and the disciples? They went into a house. That's where this happened. This happened inside a house. And Mark 7 says, I don't want anybody to know I'm here. Clearly, by implication, this woman had found out Jesus was in her hometown of Tyre and Sidon, asked about it, sought him out, found the home he was staying at, and knocked on the door persistently, and it was opened. What next? In our story, we find out after the silence, after the pleading, after turning to the disciples' pleading, Jesus breaks the silence and says the following. She's pleading, Lord, help me. She falls down at his feet, worshiping him. Lord, help me. And then Jesus says this. I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And then he says, it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. Now again, if you are a new Bible student living in 2024, that could come across as a little unusual to the ear. Again, understanding who Jesus is and what Jesus is about will help you understand. Jesus is teaching a small miniature parable here. We all know what a household pet does when dinner time happens at our house. I would imagine most of your dogs stay as close to the dinner table as possible, and likely as close to the children as possible, because they know who's likely to drop the crumbs. This woman does not get deterred. She is thick-skinned. She perseveres. She meets these obstacles head on. She doesn't argue with Jesus. she says, she almost embraces the parable. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table. She's like, Lord, I'll take the crumbs. She doesn't argue with the truth. Jesus was simply stating a fact. Jesus came, his mission was to take the gospel to the Jewish nation first, as prophesied. That does not mean the whole world wasn't going to be blessed. She understood Jesus had a job to do, but she says, you know, just being near you, I'll get blessings. I'll settle for the crumbs. There's an interesting story in Genesis 32 of a man named Jacob. This is actually the story where his name gets changed. What did it get changed to? Israel, who is the father of the Israelite nation. In this story, Jacob is wrestling. We're seeing wrestling with God. And it goes on and on persistently. They're wrestling. And then Jacob's hip gets touched by the All-Powerful. And his hip dislocates. And he clings on and cries out, I will not let you go unless you bless me. Persistent faith is a faith that pleases God. The name Israel literally means wrestled with God and prevailed. Life is often a struggle. We get knocked down frequently. This woman was in desperate need and struggling. She met obstacle after obstacle, silence, and then poor treatment from the disciples, and then a shocking statement from Jesus, which is really the truth. She didn't argue with the truth. She's accepting, Lord, I'll accept grace on your terms, not mine. Whatever you say, I will take. That's faith that's great. Third point, great faith is desperate. This is an important one. In my studies, I read this, and I thought it was poignant. Persistence is often born out of desperation. She knew her daughter had no hope outside of Jesus Christ. She knew it. She knew her state of helplessness. She knew where to go. She was not going to leave, just like Jacob. I'm not going to let you go. I'm desperate until you bless me. I'm not going to leave. Even in the perceived struggles I'm going through, I'm not going to leave. Humility and submission. Paul recognized this when he wrote in Romans 7:24, O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? The next verse answers his own question, Jesus Christ our Lord. Sometimes in America, let's face it, our physical comforts and material wealth is blinding. Jake, we studied about being content and just the dangers that come with wealth. Deuteronomy 8 warns the nation of Israel, be careful when you're wealthy. Satan will gob you up. The church at Laodicea in Revelation 3, you're blind. You don't see that you're naked, poor, wretched. And total desperation. If we want great faith, even though we live in the land of plenty, we need to acknowledge we are desperate. We're as desperate as this woman is. We're as desperate can be. Don't let wealth blind us to that truth. Sometimes to understand the blessings of the gospel, there's another side to the coin that sometimes we forget to look at. Eternity in hell. Boy, that makes the gospel look even better. It makes our state look dire. It makes our persistence easier when we understand the other side of the coin. The next thing I see in this woman's great faith is that she is not ruled by her emotions. She exhibited thick skin. We live in a world that is dominated by feelings and emotions that seems to take priority over simply God's truth, His word. The woman did not respond emotionally. In this, can you imagine the setting? Coming, and she's met this hostile crowd. She's fallen to His feet. Everyone else is standing. She's on the ground in desperation, clinging to Jesus. She doesn't let her emotions make her make a bad decision. She didn't let that be a stumbling block. The next point that I think is key for us is that great faith trusts God's word. I don't know how this Syrophoenician woman who lived in the coastal city of Tyre and Sidon in Canaan land, Gentile territory, I don't know how she understood God's promises and prophecy, but she did. It is clear. She seems to understand the promises God made to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12. Through your seed, all nations will be blessed. Somehow this woman knew that. She knew, I'll take the crumbs. I know, Lord, that you came first for the house of Israel, but I know the blessings are for all. And that's why I'm still here, because I have faith that God will keep His word and do what He says He's going to do. Let me read Isaiah, another prophecy of this, Isaiah 55, 1 through 7. Everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you who have no mercy, come, buy and eat. Yes, come, buy wine and milk, without money and without price. Why do you spend money for what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good, and let your soul delight itself in abundance. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you. The sure mercies of David, indeed, I have given him as a witness to the people, a leader and commander for the people. Surely you shall call a nation you do not know, and nations who do not know you shall run to you because of the Lord your God and the Holy One of Israel, for He has glorified you. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. There are many other passages in the Old Testament where we could go to. God was consistent. I'm going to send Jesus, the Messiah, for all nations, all people. He started that promise with Abraham and never stopped it. Somehow this woman found those comforting words of God and clung to it. And guess who showed up in her town? Jesus was near, right in Tyre and Sidon. Do you think she was going to let that opportunity pass? No. Great faith propelled her into action by trusting God's word. And finally, great faith brings a great reward. Did Jesus just give her the crumbs? No. Jesus never gives crumbs to His children. The gospel, as we know, means literally the good news. If that's the good news, let's face it, there is no other good news in relation. There's just bad news, news, and the good news. There should be another category of good news. Jesus exceeded her expectation. Matthew 7, verse 11 reads, "If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask Him?" In Mark 7's account, Jesus tells this woman, "Go your way, your daughter was healed." And from that very moment, the severe demon possession had left her daughter. Wow. Can you imagine the walk home? Can you imagine the faith it took leaving Jesus, trusting He said, "My daughter's healed, and I've got to walk the long walk home"? I know what that walk looked like. That woman was smiling, skipping, jumping, singing, screaming, claiming the praises of God, because she knew when she got home, her daughter was well. That's what great faith does. It looks forward to the expectations of the promises of God. We should walk our lives and let all of Blount County see in our daily life the joy that this woman had over those promises. We too have the same promises. If you're in Christ, we have ironclad promises of heaven, eternity with Father. We need to exude that joy. Remember, this story is between the feeding of the 5,000 and the feeding of the 4,000. In those two miracles, we know that Jesus provides, Jesus satisfies, and Jesus exceeds our expectations. How many baskets were left over with the feeding of the 5,000? 12. How many baskets were left over at the feeding of the 4,000? 7. And it says everyone, both accounts says everyone had eaten till they were stuffed. Then there was more. Abundant grace is what's waiting for us. We are invited not just to eat the crumbs, but to sit at the table. Revelation 19:9 says, "Blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb." Truly, we are blessed to be children of God. If we want to please God, we must grow our faith. Wherever we are now is not where we need to be a year from now. We need to grow our faith, because in great faith comes an understanding of God's love, which will propel us into action. A great faith that is the beginning of an eternal relationship with God the Father in heaven. We need to examine our lives in relation to this woman. What do we let stand in our way? Do we allow modern-day disciples to treat us wrong and send us packing and break our faith and make us leave the church when sometimes we behave like those 12 disciples did to her? Embarrassingly, we must not be a stumbling block, but we also have to have the faith, the tenacious faith, to overcome these setbacks. We're not perfect, and we will make mistakes. This woman, I need to be like this woman. We need to persevere through thick and thin. I want to end by just reading the Beatitudes, and I want you to listen for this woman. Jump off the page as I read, and then the lesson will be yours. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. If you have not obeyed the gospel, there is no day like the present. Obeying the gospel gives you access to all of the blessings of being in Christ, including salvation, redemption, and the hope of heaven. We want you to understand what that means. If you don't know, let's study together. Grab one of us and we will study. We'll help you understand how to obey the gospel. If you are a member of this body and need the prayers of the congregation, maybe your faith is weak. Maybe you have little faith. Maybe you need the prayers. Certainly, we will do so at this time. I'll be waiting at the front if you'd like to for this congregation to pray for you. So let's stand as we sing the invitation song.